بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، my respected and honorable friends, let us correct our intention that we are sitting here solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to learn in order to attain the reward of performing 1,000 rakats of nafal salah, which has been mentioned in the hadith of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To get this magnitude of reward, let each one of us intend with sincerity from the depths of our hearts. My respected friends, if we make firm intentions that we want to learn the deen, we will really learn the deen. But the condition is we practice on the deen also. Because when you learn something of the deen and you practice on it, it stays with you. But if you learn the deen and don't practice on it, very shortly it will even go out of your mind, that you will even forget that you have learned this deen. My dear respected friends, once Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in, and a Sahaba came into the majlis and said, Assalamu alaykum. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied him with a better salam. A better salam here means words added to it. Like if somebody tells you Assalamu alaykum, you reply Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. It's a better reply, like the Quran Kareem orders us to do so. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied the Sahaba, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said 10. Another Sahaba after a while came into the majlis and said Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again replied with a better reply and said 20. Then after a while another Sahaba came and greeted Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied and said 30. So the Sahabas asked Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for one you said 10, for the other one you said 20, for the other one you said 30. What is the meaning of it? Then Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, when any mu'min makes salam to another mu'min, saying Assalamu alaykum, he gets 10 good deeds. He says Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, he gets 20 good deeds. And if he says Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, he gets 30. So my dear respected friends, we as mu'mineen, as muslimin, we lack a lot to make salam to others. Even our speakers, when they begin their talks, they don't start with making salam to the congregation. How much sawab they are missing out, and how much sawab they are making the congregation miss out by not replying the salam. So let us make it a habit always when we meet somebody to make salam to them. And salam in itself means peace, and the more salam we make to the people, the more peace we will be spreading. The salam plays a very important part in the life of a mu'min. It has a lot of benefits in the light of the hadith of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I used to always hear my late father rahmatullah alayhi say that in your salah, when you make salam to the right, then always make salam to the angels that are on your shoulder and the jinnat. Because there are jinnats with everybody. People get afraid of the jinnats. For what must you get afraid? Allah has termed us in the Quran as Ashraful Makhlukat, the best of creation. So we are better creation than jinnat. Why should we be afraid of them? Doesn't mean we can't see them, we've got to be afraid of them. So make for the jinnat. And then you say, all the people on my right that are sitting, all of them. Then always remember, it is a sunnah of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that after your salah, when you make salam, you will turn your head to the right. Then you don't turn it straight to the left. You bring it to the center is also a sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Stop in the center. Then you say, whoever is in the front. Then you turn to the left. And you say salam to the angels, the jinnat, and all the mu'mineen that are on my left, including if the imam is on the right. Greet the imam also. If he's in front of you, greet him then. If he's on the left, left. So how many mu'mineen you are greeting? So how much salam you are spreading? And salam is peace. How much peace are you spreading? And we have all of us doing this at all the time. Can you imagine how much peace there will be? But despite of the peace, I tell you, they'll still be talking. Huh? They'll still be talking. Why do people like to talk? I was thinking very seriously about it today. Why people like to talk? We all, including me, we are under the influence of shaitan. What is prohibited, shaitan wants us to do. So, we are prohibited in the etiquette to speak. So shaitan pokes us and makes us speak. We haven't got full control of shaitan yet. Because the day you get full control of shaitan is when you have reached the quality of ihsan like the Quran mentions. Let's make a deal. Speak from today. Speak as much as you want to. As loud as you want to. Speak in a masjid. Maybe shaitan will leave us. Because say, now it's permissible to speak. Why must I even trouble them anymore? So my brothers, speak as much as you want to, okay? All the people say, don't speak, don't speak, don't speak. No, speak. Maybe shaitan will help us. It takes only a few rotten oranges to spoil the whole bag of oranges. Don't forget, a few rotten oranges in a bag will finally and ultimately make that whole bag of oranges rotten. So there are a few mutakifs here that haven't come here for the right reasons. And these are the ones that are spoiling the barakat, the noor, blessings, and the progress of the other mutakifs. So my dear respected friends, if you haven't come here for the right reasons, try to excuse yourself and stay in Abrar courtyard all the time. Eat there, sleep there, read your namaz, do everything, stay away from the other congregation that these people can benefit. Like we have heard over the talks in the past week, that due to people, rain is stopped by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Ustad mentioned last night, the story about Musa alayhi salam, one person backbiting, rain got stopped. Now imagine others doing evils here and committing sins and wrongs. How many other people are deprived? So please, if you don't want to progress, you've got a Abrar courtyard. Sit and enjoy your life there. If you want to progress, really be in the front and according to the rules and regulations. My dear respected friends, we are supposed to read every single day of Ramadan one hadith concerning the importance of recitation of the Quran Kareem, that we can learn about the importance of reciting the Quran, so we can read much Quran during the month of Ramadan, then the importance of making dua, and the importance of remaining silent. So we speak on the recitation of dua first, that Hazrat Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu reported that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for whomever amongst you the doors of dua is opened, the doors of blessings are also opened for him, and Allah was not sought for anything that is dearer to him, that is to Allah, than what he was sought for peace of mind. So from this hadith of Tirmizi, we learn, my dear respected friends, that whoever Allah Ta'ala gives the tawfiq to make dua, such a person, Allah has opened up the doors of blessings for him. So the more dua we make, the more blessings is showered upon us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second part of the hadith say, there is nothing more dearer that Allah loves that a banda asks him but for peace of mind. Because if we have a peace, if we have peace of mind, we have peace of heart. If we have peace of heart, how beautiful ibadat can't we make? So peace of mind is what we should sought from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over and over. Now dua, my dear respected friends. Let us not only lift our hands making dua when the imams are making the dua after salah. After programs, they lift and make the du'as. No, my dear respected friends, spend a lot of your time in du'a, especially at the time of tahajjud. That is the time when Allah really answers a mu'min's du'as. In Ramadan and out of Ramadan also. And this is the main time a mu'min can make ibadat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the early hours of the morning. Because first of all, he has sacrificed his sleep. I mean, anybody could get up at leisure at 4:45, go quickly to the toilet, have a quick seri. They are in time ready for the Fajr Salah. Read Fajr and go and sleep. But they are sacrificing their sleep. Now, for what are you sacrificing your sleep? Are you sacrificing because you have to have seri, and if you're late, you're not going to get seri? Or are you sacrificing your sleep for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to worship Allah? So the first thing that you do every morning, my dear respected friends, whether you're in itikaf, out of itikaf, you're in Ramadan, out of Ramadan, you're fasting, you're not fasting, is straight after you make wuzu, come into the masjid, and read 2 rakats of Tahiyyatul Wuzu, Tahiyyatul Masjid, Salatul Shukr, Salatul Hajat, Salatul Tawbah, and 2 of Tahajjud. 6 intentions you made, you're reading 2 rakats, 12 rakats, sawab you are going to get. And ensure that you read 6 to 8 rakats of Tahajjud in the morning. And after you have recited your 8 rakats of Tahajjud, at least minimum for 5 minutes, lift your hands and make dua. Make dua with understanding what you are asking, not repeating Arabic duas that you don't even know what you're talking about. You don't even know what you're asking Allah. Yes, it is meritorious. It is better. It is more nobler to read those blessed words that came out from the blessed mouth of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like the most common dua and most dua that Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam made in his life is Allahumma rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasanata wa qina adhaban nar. Very frequently Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this dua. So in all your duas include this dua of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now there are a lot of du'as that Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed. Like is mentioned in the hadith of the Hizbul Azam that we read every day before Maghrib. And the last du'a that is there, that hadith is mentioned on every single day. Read that hadith carefully today and that du'a, learn it. Whenever there is time to make du'a and you don't know what du'a that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made, you read that dua. For wearing your clothes, taking out your clothes, eating, before eating, after eating, whatever occasion needs a dua, and you don't know that dua, then you read this dua. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka bihi nabiyuka, till the end. Learn it. Great asset for you. Now, we going to read about talking, I don't know if the talking is still on or is it off, but anyway the hadith is on. Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Man samata naja. Short, sweet hadith. Man samata naja. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he who remains silent will be safe. So whoever remains silent, does not talk too much, he will be safe. Then Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wasallam, again in a short hadith of Tirmizi, said, control your tongue. If you can learn to control your tongue, every lump of your body you will can control. And if you can't control your tongue, gone with every lump of your body, including your private parts. So my dear respected friends, learn to control it. We'll read about the Quran and the zikr tomorrow, inshallah, because I need to read a story to you today and explain something about the story. And we are supposed to speak on intentions, and we are supposed to speak on the nafs, and too many to speak. Okay, whatever Allah wills, that is what will happen. Para a day. How long you, my son? You don't know, your father is gone 65 years, he's an old man, he's a madala now. He gets very tired in the evening, boy. Right, the story goes, and listen very carefully to it. A sheikh was walking in the road with a murid when they passed by a group of women. An old lady began to revile and start abusing the sheikh. The sheikh instructed his murid to slap the woman immediately. Now here, my dear respected friend, till here, we should always remember that if we follow the instructions of the sheikh, we will become successful. And if we do not follow the instructions of the sheikh, we will not become successful. We have got a lot of hidden agendas in our lives, where we think we are right and everybody else is wrong. And we want people to do things our way, and not the way that we are being told. Like the famous saying, either our way or the highway. Now this Buzruk had instructed the murid to slap this woman. Now an ordinary person that does not have understanding, that is full of comments, that is full of finding faults, will say, what kind of a sheikh is asking a murid to somehow clap a old woman? Nakhamal. We are always commenting without knowing what the situation is. Let us take that out of our lives. Because remember, always, that the coin has two sides. Don't only read the coin on the one side. Turn the coin on the other side and see what the other side of the story is. Then you will find out the reality. So in all our walks of lives, my dearest, in our lives, let us never take anything at face value. If somebody comes and tell you that the certain person is doing this, 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 don't take it at face value. Go to the person and find out, is it true what they're saying? Because if a person wants to cause fitna, which the Quran terms, and says regarding fitna and causing calamity, al-fitnatu ashaddu min al-qatl, that to cause fitna, to cause calamity, is more severe than murdering somebody. So dangerous it is. Why did the Quran term it so? Because you spoil the dignity, reputation, honor and dignity of a Muslim. Because you are somebody goes tell the person something, lies about him, we believe it and take it to value. And when we hear it, then we go to the next person and the next person and the next person tell them. In the meantime, the person didn't do any such thing, but his name in the whole process is being spoiled. So my dear respected friends, I'm thinking of my spiritual mentor many times in this past week. Seems he's calling me and soon I'll be going to him, really. I'm thinking a lot about him and crying a lot. I remember he used to always in his talk say, ke buzrugo ki ulti bhi seedhi hoti hai. Always he used to say this. Now that time we were very young and naive, never used to understand what this quotation of his used to mean that the wrong of a buzruk also will become right. Now, wrong here doesn't mean that if the buzruk tell you something against the Sharia, that if you practice on it, it will become permissible. I will give you an example with which you will can understand very well. That while staying with our spiritual mentor, Rahmatullah Alayhi, in Medina Munawwara, for 1 year, I stayed with him in Medina Munawwara. So I had that eagerness in myself that 40 salah I must read in the first saf of the haram. 40 salah I must read in Riyazul Jannah. 40 salahs with takbir-e-ula continuously I must read on the Ashab-e-Suffa. So I started this procedure. So the khadims came and tell me, "Bhai, it is more virtuous for you, more beneficial for you to read your salah with the sheikh, wherever he is reading in the back of the haram, instead of going to read in the Riyazul Jannah and other places." Then it crosses your mind. But the hadith says, Riyazul Jannah got so much of virtue to read namaz in it. To read namaz in the first saf got so much of virtue that Nabi Akrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that if the people knew its virtue, they should have thrown a raffle that the one that is the winner will sit in the front. But no. If you are in the second, third, fourth place, sit there, we are parking, there we are okay. Nobody is eager to collect more and more good deeds. And like we said, the stranger that is on our back, to make him stronger and stronger with more and more good deeds. A true mu'min, a person that has fine iman and strong iman, will want to collect every minute, littlest of good deed he can. He will not omit it. He will not leave it. So my dear respected friends, I was made to go and read salah somewhere where our spiritual mentor used to read his salah and read with him. Today, after many, many years, it is over 30 years that our spiritual mentor, Rahmatullah Alayhi, has passed away. These places in the haram of Medina Munawwara, where he used to read his salah, Wallahi al-Azim, I take the oath of Allah that the nur and barakat of our spiritual mentor is still at that place. It's still there. It is for that reason when we go for Umrah with a group, we make our zikr after Fajr in that particular space. We sit there, we read our Fajr, we make our zikr after Fajr there, so the brothers can attain that barakat of our spiritual mentor that is still there. The Riyazul Jannah is still there till today, my dear respected friends. But that company of the Sheikh, which they were saying, you benefit more being there. During the course of the year, wherever I go, I feel sometimes very, very hurt that my muridin are being deprived of good deeds, of barakat and anwarat. Finding all other people coming to stand and read salat next to me, when they are all plentiful in the masjid, I promise you, I will not eat you people. And I promise you also, I will not eat you. We, with our spiritual mentor, we murid used to rush that who could read namaz next to him. And we used to have a fight. We first. Our turn. Therefore, my dear respected friends, from all amongst you, anybody can come and read namaz in the tent on condition when the curtains are open. The nearer you are, the more barakat you get, which you will understand in this way. You are feeling extremely cold. So the further you are from the heater, you'll feel warm, or the nearer. You all know nearer. So the nearer you are to the Sheikh, the more barakat you get. So please remember that story. Now we go further with the story. Now let's find out why the woman had to be clapped. The murid was in a dilemma. He thought that he had misunderstood the instruction. He knew that it was never the attitude of the sheikh to extract revenge. The old lady abused him, saw him, and now he wants to take revenge to have her smacked. No man, the sheikh will never take revenge. Further it is written, he was an embodiment of lofty moral character. Hence the murid hesitated. The sheikh got such a high position, and I am commanded to smack this woman, and he hesitated. While he hesitated, the old woman dropped down dead. Now remember, she abused the buzruk. The murid was asked to smack her. He did not smack her, and he fell down dead. Now, it is puzzling to all of us that what has happened and what is happening here. And many other thoughts are passing our minds. So let's get down to the real answer, what it is. The buzruk was furious and grief-stricken for the woman dropping down dead. Slating the murid and said, "You are responsible for her death. I had instructed you to slap her, but you disobeyed. Hence Allah's wrath overtook her. When she uttered the offensive words and abused me, I saw the wrath of Allah descending up towards her. The only way to have blocked that wrath of Allah Ta'ala was to take revenge. I therefore instructed you to slap her. You delayed, hence the divine command overtook her." Had he smacked at that time, when this buzruk, the sheikh, saw the wrath of Allah coming on that woman, by smacking her, that wrath should have moved away and she shouldn't have died because she got a smack. Further it is written, when a person refrains from revenge, Allah Ta'ala takes up his or her defense and punish the oppressor. The buzruk's revenge was not motivated by hatred and anger. It was the effect of mercy to save the woman from the impending calamity. Therefore, my dear respected friends, whatever in your life you do, never ever trap the toes of a buzruk. The wrath of Allah is going to come down onto you someday. If not today, if not tomorrow, someday it is going to come down to you. And it's going to come down terrible to you. So from this story, learn. If you don't like the buzruk, you don't like his attitudes, stay away from him. Don't comment and don't speak against him. Those murids that want to leave the khanqa and permanently go out, I show you a nice method. Easy method. Abuse the sheikh. Talk against him. I guarantee you in 3 months, you're out of the khanqa. Allah will take you out from the nearness. So my dear respected friends, watch what you do. Watch what you speak. And see how you control yourself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.